This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
And it is good morning to you as we start this beautiful Thursday. Yeah, January, a brand new year. It's a beautiful... You know what I love about South Africa is that it's a new year. It's people coming together, lots of great productions, a lot of fabulous shows, a lot of phenomenal events. People get often surprised to realize that even though that certain people like, let's say, the idiot Trump calls Africa a shithole, excuse my language, he has no damn clue. He has no clue how beautiful this continent is and how beautiful this country is. This is going to be a great show. This is The Unview. My name is Alan Ford, where we still can't work out who the thin, the rich, and the fabulous is. Well, we're always fabulous, but thin and rich, we're still getting there. It's a work in progress. Great show lined up for you today. We're going to chat with Etienne Kasuto from GH Mum about the Sun Met. And also some great news that's just been announced. Usain Bolt will be here for it. And it's like the Melbourne Cup. It's one of the top horse racing. It is the top horse racing event in South Africa. We're going to have the phenomenal comedian Alan Committee on the show. He's got a new show called Planet Mirth, a funny look at everything in HG. So that's going to be brilliant. And then they've just landed in South Africa. The Beatlemania International Tour is here. They've just flown in from Australia. They're in South Africa. They're traveling all around the world. And it's one of the, well, I've seen it some years ago, but it's one of the best tribute shows that you will find in South Africa. Well, in the world, sorry, not in South Africa, but I'm happy that they're here. Don't miss that. On that note, I just thought we'll kick off with a bit of
there
fun things.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, I said I need someone. Help me.
Well, today is today, and we do have Beatlemania in studio. They're going to be playing live. That was just a bit of an introduction to the Beatles for you, for some of you that are completely impaired and don't know who the Beatles are, because there are people. Because you know that, like, for example, I don't know, I know who Justin Timberlake is, but I mean, some people just don't know the magic of the Beatles. So we're going to give them a lesson on that, and we'll welcome Beatlemania in a moment. I'm very proud to tell you that Usain Bolt, Olympian and of course one of the top sportsmen of all time, is going to be coming to South Africa next week for the Sun Met, and he'll be in the GH Mum Paddock Club. Etienne Kasuto, welcome to the show.
Etienne, hi, morning, Alan.
First and foremost, I mean, you guys, you know, Mum Champagne has been in the country, or prolifically in the country, for the last 5 years, and wow, you've taken it to a whole new level, haven't you?
Absolutely. You know, it's been an exciting adventure to get here. And ever since the first ever installment of the Sun Met celebrated with Mum last year, you know, where to think back, we only had 4 months to pull off the last event. We've had a whole year to plan this one. And boy, we've got some surprises. So yeah, we've got the honor of bringing down our chief entertainment officer, none other than Mr. Usain Bolt.
which is magic.
He's racing our shores for the whole weekend, and it's his first time in South Africa, so I can tell you he's very excited to be here.
Well, I must tell you, it's very exciting to have him here. I mean, globally, Mum has been involved with in Australia at the Melbourne Cup, the US with the Kentucky Derby, in New Zealand at the Auckland Cup. So you are associated with this phenomenal sport of horse racing, which at some stage looked like a dying sport. But all of a sudden, with a bit of class and the old hats and the magic that it needed, you guys have brought back with Sun International the style to Cape Town.
Absolutely. You know, us as a brand, Jet Moom stands for the values of dare, win, and celebrate. You know, and the sports of racing as a whole, and not just horse racing, but, you know, we were a long partners with Formula One. We moved on to Formula E. We have a partnership with horse racing around the world, as you mentioned. And we really are there to celebrate the thrill of racing, but also the lifestyle component behind it. And the reason why so many people around the world, you know, go to the racetrack, enjoy a day out, have a great party, dress up for the occasion. And we're there for the glamour, for the fun, but also for the thrill of the race.
Etienne, it is very interesting because I saw it happen this year. In the past 5 to 10 years, people used to have moved from the Met. It lost its schwadavie, it lost its style and lost its chicness, and people started going to the Queen's Plate, which is literally a month before this particular race, the Met. And all of a sudden this year, people were saying, did you see the Met last year? We're not going to the Queen's Plate. We've got to go to the Met, because it's, you know, and it's interesting that you've turned this particular event around, and you really have.
It has been an exciting adventure, and you and ourselves, Pernod Ricard, with GH Boom and Sun International, a year and a half ago when we started our discussions, we both realized that we shared a common vision to grow this property and give it back its shine and grow onto a global level. You know, we all went to the Melbourne Cup a year and a half ago together, also with our partners at Investec, who also have brought now the Investec Derby onto the day of the Sun Met, and so. It's really an exciting adventure that we're on, and we all have share a common vision to really build this into the most glamorous event in South Africa, as well as, you know, bringing the world down to South Africa. So speaking to racing horse owners from all around the world to come down to race here, opening it up to the public, making it more accessible, and really making it a day out to remember. So as I said, yeah, we're bringing out some global celebrities this time. We're bringing down some. It's the first time also that the Met is now broadcast in Hong Kong, in Europe. So we're really giving it putting it at a global level, and of course celebrating Cape Town with all Capetonians and inviting also Africans to come down to Cape Town for that weekend.
It was interesting last year because I was privileged to be one of your guests, and I look forward to being a guest again this year. But it was incredible because everybody went off to this magnificent box where obviously the best was served, not only just your beautiful champagne, but from Absolut Vodka to Chivas Regal to all the best that you could get. And everyone in the other boxes were trying to get in, and I think people were jumping over walls. Fancy celebrities, seriously, like trying to get into your particular paddock club. The interesting thing is that's what creates the demand, and it's all about style, and it's good to see. People don't know this, but am I right to say the GH Mum is the Queen of England's official champagne brand?
Yes, so we have a Royal Steel in terms of being one of the suppliers of the Queen of England, or the Royal Family of England, correct? And historically, you know, the supplies of champagne across royal families all around Europe. First champagne to really export into Asia, into the United States back in the 18th century, or the 19th century, sorry. And, you know, we've had the spirit of adventure and the spirit of taking risks and going after something that may be perceived as bigger than ourselves. And the Met was that big giant that we really went after. But with the right partners, with Sun International, with Investec, with Pumalela, with everybody involved, sharing this common vision, and really have come to the party to bring a real spectacle into South Africa.
Well, a big shout out and congratulations to Sun International, Pernod Ricard, yourselves, and of course Investec. I want to just say it is something superb, and of course it is open to the general public. Wear your top hats, look fabulous. The theme is Afro chic. this year. And of course, besides Usain Bolt and other well-known personalities, make yourself a personality and make your own stamp on what has got to be, I think this is almost 75 to 80 years old, an institution in South Africa. And seriously, the best, it was the best event of last year. Seriously, Etienne, well done.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you there.
We'll report back on it. Etienne Kasuta, the brand manager from Perla Record, representing GH Mum Champagne. Thank you for joining us, my friend. I know you're off to a meeting.
Thank you.
And that happens next week, Saturday. It's going to be a very, very big event in South Africa, which is good news. Now, other great news opens tomorrow night at Empress Palace is Beatlemania on tour. Okay. And in studio, we've got the four cast members, but they're not cast members because they're in the gear and you can look at the photos. Zach Coombers, Ben Harper, Brent McMillan, and Cameron Charters. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to South Africa. You've been here before?
I have, yes.
Yes, you love South Africa. You love being here.
Oh, we had a great time last time. We've only just got here, obviously, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
First and foremost, here is the question: to be able to do a show like this, you have to love the Beatles.
This is true.
Yes. That definitely helps.
Yeah, you have to love them. What do you love about them?
I think the main thing that comes across in Beatles music for me is the songs are very catchy and they're very memorable, and everybody seems to respond to them. I've played music a long time and always love playing Beatles tunes, and everybody loves hearing them. So I think it's one of those bands that you can just share the love of the music with everybody.
And it is quirky. And it's songs that you don't realize that, you know, you didn't have to be born in the 60s to be a Beatles fan because you grew up with it.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't Obadiah, if it wasn't, if sometimes you went to church and it was Let It Be.
Yep.
And if it was, you know, it was, it's been a hard day's night. And of course, the stories behind these four Liverpool friends that came together to create this phenomenal group that took the world by storm.
Mm.
I mean, I think at one stage, and I think in history, they were the only, and I think still the only, a group that had number ones in the US, in the UK, and around the world at the same time.
Pretty much, yeah, that's right. Well, back home in Australia, I remember reading up that they occupied the top six spots at one go, yeah. I don't think that's ever heard of these days. No, so,
it can't be. I mean, different songs. It's absolutely incredible. So we're gonna talk about your lives and how you all came together and how this is all happening and traveling the world, and we'll chat to you all individually. But I do think we should start off with a song because we're live in studio. Nathan Rowe can't be with us. Nathan Rowe's actually stuck on a highway. His car broke down.
Oh, really?
Hey, things happen. Yeah. But Nathan always says that we get people to sing before about 9:20 in the morning. So
yeah, when our voices are at their best.
Yes.
At their best. That's the best time to do it. Okay.
We were hoping it was 6:30.
So here on clipcentral.com, my name is Alan Ford. This is The Unview, and Beatlemania has just arrived in South Africa. Take it away, John.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get you money to buy your things, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I feel alright. You know I feel alright.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Sure, sure,
sure.
That is Beatles magic. That is Beatles magic at its best. So let's start. How did this come to you? How did you get involved in the show? Who's been around for the longest?
It's quite a long story. I've been around the longest. I was part of the original lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, we
changed to Cameron, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to introduce who we're speaking with.
Yeah.
Cameron plays Paul McCartney. Cameron Charters.
That's right.
And to continue.
That's okay. Well, yeah. Basically, the four of us were all playing in a Queen tribute show, and Showtime management, who we were playing for at the time, said, "I want to do a Beatles show. How about you guys do that?" And of course, we were all massive Beatles fans, so we jumped at it.
Really?
And then that ended up being our main thing. And the Queen sort of thing took, yeah, it was on.
Well, someone else is taking, I think, the Queen. Queen's still going.
Yeah, there's other guys that do that. But yeah, so that's sort of how it happened. And I've been doing it on and off for 10 years now.
You came to South Africa in 2009 the Civic Theatre at that time. And you also did the packed shows, packed audiences. You've travelled the world. What do you think is the common thread, besides you write the melody, that people love about the Beatles? And is it old and is it young or is it dated? I think it's an important question.
Well, there is obviously the core demographic, I guess, for Beatles fans that were around then. But then they are loved by everybody to a great extent. But I think it's just their characters. You know, they had such a good nature and they were sort of playful and, you know, they mucked around with each other.
They're like mucking around in the studio.
Like we do. And it's just good fun. And you know, people want to have fun, essentially.
Well, people do want to have fun, and then you also look at the what they went through. I think, again, we see it all the time. Four best friends come together in Liverpool. They start singing because they are a bit of fun parties. They obviously in the 60s are using a few weird, let's say, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, if you catch my drift. And it's more than a drift, it's like let it float away.
I'm drifting.
And they were drifting somewhere. And then, of course, they took the world by storm. And then, of course, people move on in their lives. And then John Lennon created that split initially, I think. And Ringo, actually.
That's right. Like I think it was in 1969. Mm. John actually said to Paul, because Paul was the glue that was keeping him together during that last couple of years, and John actually said to Paul, "I want a divorce from the group." Mm. He needed to expand on their own. I think they all did around that time. I think the death of their manager Brian Epstein left everything open for him, and then they had to play businessmen for themselves, and they didn't know how to do that. So I think that kind of was the core reason which made them drift apart.
Not to mention Yoko, eh?
And Yoko.
Yoko's got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, she does. You know she does.
Yoko is very interesting. You see this. You see it all the time. For example, the acts of from the boy zones to the Westlife, you know, they people start to break away and they start to go to have, and it's called the start Destiny's Child, the start of a solo career.
Yeah, well, Harry
worked out well for George, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked out for George. Yeah.
Well, the only I think they all created solo careers.
They all have.
Yes.
And Paul and Ringo are still playing solo shows.
I saw Ringo in New York recently.
Did
actually.
You?
Yeah. It was in the heart of New York on Broadway.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Oh, well, for a guy who was born in 1940, so he's floating around 77 years old, very fit. He ran around the stage and he was doing star jumps and everything, singing all the classic tunes. But he also had, it was his all-star band, so he actually had members from other famous bands such as Toto.
Mm-hmm.
And they played some of their hits, like, and Ringo was playing drums to him, like Africa, Hold the Line. And Rosanna. As soon as I heard those, wow,
there's Ringo the Beatles.
But that's
music.
Yeah, but it was also a funny thing. It is the fact that he played his Beatles or the tunes that he sung for Beatles. Those songs just seemed to be separate to what the other songs were, just because they just seemed a lot more sing along sing-along types.
Well, again, you collaborate as a group.
Yes.
And if you think Bee Gees is a nice example, actually, because the Bee Gees, the minute Barry couldn't do it without Morris and without, Andy, of course, was the baby of the lot.
Yep.
But they couldn't do things without each other. And, of course, Barry's the only one alive.
Yeah.
So it shows you collaboration of work is very important.
Mm.
And that's perhaps the gel of the energy when different, let's call it souls or personalities come together. And that's what it was. Because the minute they separated, of course they did some great things. I mean, listen, I don't know about Paul McCartney and the Wings, how great they were, but not the best example. Linda, listen, I mean, we have some tracks where she really didn't have the greatest.
There's a reason we don't do a wing show.
Yeah, correct.
Mary Had a Little Lamb's a great song.
Yeah.
Cook it out.
And then, of course, if you think about it, we look at George Harrison, maybe one or two hits before he passed. And then you look at John Lennon, and of course, yes, John had Imagine and had a couple of great hits.
He had a great hit. Jealous Guy was another great song. Whatever Gets You Through the Night was his first number one. He actually did that with Elton John.
Yes.
Actually. Yeah. He had hits, and then I think it was around 74, 75, he took a hiatus because he wanted to focus on being a father to his son, Sean.
Bake bread.
Yeah.
And go and march against the war effort, and then obviously make love to Yoko.
Yeah. Well, that'd take 5 years, wouldn't it?
Very interesting. I want to share a story. I've just watched a documentary on the death of John Lennon and exactly what happened that day. You must watch it, by the way, if you haven't seen it on YouTube. Have you seen it?
No, I was recently at 72nd Street. Just out front of the
outside that next on Central close Park. To Central Park. Yeah,
Central Park.
But it's a very interesting because they take you through the people because they were fans obviously wanting them to sign books and records, and it takes you through exactly what happened. And Yoko takes it step by step, and then the doctors. It's actually a brilliant documentary, but again, a life cut very short because of a psychopath or a very disturbed, mentally deranged human. But still, you often think to yourself, and you can't say, you know, what would have happened. But again, he was in America. The rest of the guys were in the UK. Might have been a very different result if they stayed together or if they collaborated or came back together. Listen, I'm just saying it would have been a different result. But it's something interesting to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Well, in terms of them getting back together, there were points in times where one would want to do it, but the others wouldn't be into it. Like Paul was always keen on trying to put it back.
Paul was the glue.
Yeah.
Alan, have you seen the conspiracy theory that John Lennon is still alive?
No, I haven't.
Did the movie go into that at all or not?
No, I haven't seen. It didn't go into that. And I tell you why, I think it would be difficult because there were so many witnesses that saw him coming in shot twice. So, and they tell you the story of how he actually died on the... No, you must watch it. It's brilliant.
Right.
But the conspiracy theory would be interesting. So would it be John and Elvis together somewhere?
Yeah, I reckon. Great group, eh?
No, that'd be great. Yeah.
I think it would be a great group.
So Paul's dead and John's still alive.
Yeah, that's right.
When you do a show like this, do you ever come across family members or people that knew them?
We have some of the loveliest moments happen, especially...
I would love to know that.
One of the first stories I had was in New Zealand when we toured, and a gentleman went to school with George Harrison. You know, I play George, and it's pretty surreal, shaking the hand and meeting the man that went to school with him. It's fantastic. And then another one, more recently in Australia, there was a guy who showed us his passport or, you know, his driver's license, and his real name was George Harrison. So I took off my Pepper's jacket at the signing line, and he just put it on. There's the real George Harrison. Moments like that, just gold. You know?
That is gold, and it makes magic. Now, you haven't said very little. Are you the youngest person in the group?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm 23.
Okay,
A lot younger than...
He's the youngest.
This is Ringo, by the way.
He's the youngest guy. Ringo who plays the oldest Beatle.
I'm Ben Harper. I play Ringo Starr. I'm the drummer.
Mm. And he plays Pete Best.
Yeah. He's that good. He plays two drummers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask you this question. So you're 23 years old. Okay. This is interesting. And you're playing the drums. And so you should be hitting like the AC/DC Metallica, like bam, bam. Okay. Do you catch what I'm getting at?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're 23 years old. And now you're sitting doing... the magic of something that is 40, 50 years old. Firstly, did you know the Beatles well before you entered the space?
Sort of. My parents got me onto it. Parents were playing Come Together one day, and I heard it, and I just heard the drums on that, and that's interesting. I want to play like that. Play like Ringo. So I watched a lot of Ringo Starr videos before I came into the show, and Ringo's one of my favorite drummers. I want to aspire to sort of emulate what he does on the drums. He's sort of groove. Yeah, he's got a very certain groove, Ringo Starr. Yeah.
Yes, and it's and again, you have to emulate that style. Remember, it's a tribute show.
Yep.
So a tribute show means you've got to play the role. It's an acting piece. It's not, you can't go and then decide to go and offer your own thing. Yeah. You really, even though I'm sure you want to, and I'm sure you do.
I'm pretty sure we do.
We do actually. I would imagine. Yeah.
We do.
He'd love to do a drum solo.
But I mean that's,
I'd like to do a drum solo. I want to.
Oh, they're having fun with these boys in. But 23 years old, an incredible role to play.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun
and an iconic. You know, when you look back at your career in 20, 30 years' time, you go, like, I travelled the world playing Ringo Starr in Beatlemania.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been here in the group?
For two years now.
Sure, so you're 21 years old. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's good fun, lots of fun.
And by the way, hats off, because he has to be an extraordinary drummer.
He's great. Yeah.
He's got to be, because you can't do this unless you... Yeah.
They're just
saying it. 23 old.
Did you hear what John supposedly said about Ringo being the best drummer in the world?
I'm pleased. I love you guys. This is the wealth of information.
Yeah,
this
it was supposedly asked to him about that, if he was the best, if Ringo was the best drummer in the world, and then John just responds, he wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Oh, he was joking. He was Paul joking, was actually, John.
Yeah, but Paul was actually a very good drummer as well. So.
Well, they play various instruments, actually.
Mm.
But that's what musicians do. They've got their voice, the vocal, guitars, drums.
Piano,
obviously. Mm.
Kazoo.
Yeah, sure.
Harmonica.
They're being funny. In studio, is it Coombs?
Coombs. The B is silent.
You know, Coombs. Yeah. You know, excuse us, you know, we have to get it. Yeah. Zach Coombs, Ben Harper, Brent McMillan and Cameron Charters are in studio. They are here from Australia. They landed just recently in South Africa, actually really just a couple of days ago. And they open tomorrow at Empress Palace for 3 weeks, okay, with the Beatlemania on tour. Now, I'm going to add to this because it's great because you're coming back to Durban.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And then you're coming back to Cape Town throughout the year.
Yes. Durban is happening from the 29th of March to the 8th of April. And 31st of November to the... 31st of October.
October.
Sorry. Yeah, to November
in
11th.
Cape Town.
Yeah, in Cape Town.
Guys, you're going to freak out when you go to Cape Town. Cape Town is... Durban's... Nice.
Okay, we've already heard stories. What have you got to say about it?
Well, I live in both cities.
Okay.
But Durban is... So, Durban... Okay. So, Durban is Miami.
Yeah.
Okay, Cape Town is Sydney meets San Francisco or LA. Okay, Johannesburg's basically New York, but on less steroids. Okay. a lot less steroids.
Yes, okay.
But you'll find that the people of the city, Johannesburg, are just great.
Yeah,
and South Africa's great. You're gonna love it, and you're gonna. I'm telling you now, you're gonna come back in your personal capacities because it's so much fun. Are you all born in Australia?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you. All Australian, born and bred, and your families. Are any of you married?
I have been married.
I have been. Okay.
Got a couple of kids.
And so you got kids. Anyone else got kids?
No, we haven't got around to that.
No. Okay, so is it hard being a dad?
It's a lot of time away. Yeah, I'm away a lot, so that's the tricky part. But you know, when I'm home, I don't have a lot else that I do. So
they got you all the time then.
Yeah, it balances out a bit, yeah.
Okay. And then we'll discuss some of the favorite places you've been to in the world doing the show. But I think we need another song.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
Now, you said that your parents was it Come Together?
Yeah, Come Together.
That can we do Come Together?
We can try.
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
We don't usually do it acoustically, but
okay, well, I mean, well, hey, you know what, you know, everybody gets a surprise in the show, baby. Everybody gets a surprise. This is The Unview. Beatlemania is in South Africa. Take it away, boys.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Shoop. Shoop. Shoop.
Here come old Flat Top, he come grooving up slowly. He got Jojo eyeball, he one holy roller. He got hair down to his knees. Got to be a joker, he just do what he please. Oh! He bagged production, he got Walrus Gumboot, he got on the sideboard, he won Spinal Cracker, he got feet down below his knees. Hold you in his armchair, you can feel his disease. Come together right now over me. He roller coaster, he got early warning. He got Muddy Water, he won Mojo Filter. He say one and one and one is three. Got to be good looking, cause he's so hard to see. Come together right now over me. Come together right now over me.
Brilliant. Oh, the audience will scream on Friday. They're not here today.
But the crowd goes mild
but,
here.
But the thousands of listeners, hundreds of thousands, are all listening to you now, and they're all going, oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Okay, that is so cool. So cool for school. The Beatlemania tour starts in South Africa. Guys, it's so great to have you in studio.
It's great to be here.
It is so cool. I must tell you, I'm really, really very... very, very impressed. Now, on that note, we're going to take a quick break from you guys, and we're going to cross over to one of South Africa's best and most favorite loved comedians. He shares my name, and I've got to tell you, I made him also sing in the studio, even though he couldn't. He's not really a singer, but he's a real funny man. On the line with the opening of his new show in Johannesburg, Planet Mirth, a funny look at everything in HG. Alan Kamiti, welcome to the show.
Mr. Ford, how are you, sir?
Well, listen, I've got the cast of the international Beatlemania tour that just arrived from Australia in studio.
Well, that's why I'm on the line. I wanted to say hello to them very specifically.
Hello, Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Oh, God, that's fantastic. Well, that's all I've got time for. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Al, Sunday sees the opening of Planet Mirth. We spoke about it very briefly the last time that you were here. Tell us about the show, and you have been in Cape Town.
That's right. We've just come off a fantastic 6-week season in Cape Town, a theatre in the Bay. So I have very little to bring us here to Monte Cassino for the next 6 weeks. Essentially, I call it a docu-comedy, because like all kind of documentary makers, I think a comedian's job is to observe the world and then offer a perspective, and so that's what I kind of do. We look at everything. You know, we're looking at how we got to this point at the beginning of 2018 and how we move forward, basically. But we cover all the kind of typical madnesses, but then some interesting stuff as well. I try and attack the song Despacito and why I think it's a clue as to the way forward over the next 12 months. Plus, you'll see me rotating and moving my, gyrating my hips in a way that no person should ever be allowed to do. It could be kind of an international incident. So that's the reason alone to pay good money to come and see the show. We look at hiking and why it should never be allowed. I unpack things across the board. And as you know, in my trademark style, you know, the subject matters jump from one to the other at quite a pace. But I think it's a lot of fun. I even learned some sign language for the audience, which I share with them towards the end of the show.
Okay, and I would imagine the middle finger might be a part of one of the signs.
Exactly. So, yes, I hope to see you there, Mr. Ford, and hopefully the audience will be as well. We're starting, in fact, tomorrow night at Monty, and we do, as always, at the theatre, Wednesdays to Sundays, including double shows on Saturdays. So it's worth a laugh. It's a great way to begin 2018.
Well, I've got to tell you, I saw your last show, I think just maybe four months ago, and you had us in hysterics. I had Casper de Vries sitting next to me. It was a top South African comedian, by the way, a legend. And he was rolling, but literally, Ellen and Casper can roll. I mean, we have that ability, physically. Yeah. But literally, we were hysterical. And I mean, humor is similar to what the guys are doing with the Beatlemania tour. Music and humor creates so much joy for people. And
it brings a community together, doesn't it? I mean, both of those things are things that people relate to. There's an evocative and emotive response to it. And you sit in an audience and suddenly realize the 200 or 300 people around you were laughing at the same stuff. It kind of makes things a little better. We realize we have the same fears and kind of worries and stresses. And if we can all kind of make a choice to laugh it off, or at least to see it in a humorous light, things potentially can be better.
Alan, the show, again, a range of issues. Planet Mirth. Why the name Mirth? I mean,
because first of all, the word Mirth is not the gift that baby Jesus got from the three wise men. That's Mirth, everyone knows.
I know Mirth.
No one knows what Mirth is. It was first returned 2 days after Christmas, but that's another story. Mirth is a great word. It means bleak or jocular, fun. I think it's the aim for the next 12 months. But I call it Planet Mirth because it's a bad pun on Planet Earth, the documentary series by David Attenborough on BBC, so Planet Earth 2. And so part of the show is to look at why we have this obsession with wildlife documentaries. Do we think there's more order and structure and inspiration in wildlife than there is in our own reality? And so I unpack a little bit about documentaries and how it relates to us, and then try and talk about some of the craziness of living in our own real world.
Alan, as a proud South African, you've travelled the world, you've made people laugh. I want to just focus on one quick thing, because I think it is the subject matter of the week. Africa and Haiti, and let's just even put together, for the sake of the racist comment, man that he is, blacks live and come from shitholes. Your comments on Donald Trump's statement.
As you know, in my last show, I focused quite a bit on him. And this show, I've made a deliberate ploy not to talk about him or hardly at all, because I think he's just given him too much power. The man is a madman. He's a very entertaining madman from a distance. We're very lucky in that we are in this part of the world. We don't really have to be too influenced by his crazy rantings. We're not Americans. We should be grateful for that as well. And so he must make these crazy. The only problem with him is, at times, he's funnier than any of us could ever potentially be, because he has this no-filter policy as President of the United States. So good luck to him. He can say all that craziness. I'll happily live here. I look outside my window, and it's this beautiful Johannesburg day, and quite honestly, I'd much rather be staying here than anywhere closer to him and his strange ginger madness.
Queef. Alan, we look forward to seeing the show. It's at the Peter Tureen Theatre. It's at Monty. The show runs. Give us the dates. And
starts tomorrow night and runs through to the 25th of Feb, Wednesdays to Sundays, 3 o'clock on Sunday and 5 and 8 on Saturday.
Very quickly, I know this has been now the start of the year. You had it playing at the end of last year in Cape Town up until now. You're now in Johannesburg. What can we expect later on in the year from you? And when are we seeing you in a movie?
Movie, nothing too soon. I've kind of stayed clear. There are talks now about the TV stuff. I'm writing a new project, of which I cannot speak too much more at this point. Something that has been picked up, which is kind of exciting, and possibly I'll be in it as well. And then there's also the very strong possibility of a straight piece of theatre, which I haven't done for a couple of years. In other words, you know, something that's slightly comic, but not necessarily stand-up. It's an actual play with an actual text, which I've had to learn, and which audiences will come and see. Can he speak the words in the right order? And even I don't know the answer to that. So that'll be quite exciting. And that's going to travel both Cape Joburg. But again, these are far away in the distance. In the meantime, I'm off to London to do some stuff there. I'm going to announce dates for that as soon as I've got those confirmed. And I will also be doing, as usual, the Cape Town Funny Festival and a little bit of traveling as well, just to get out there and see what's out in the world again. I haven't traveled for about a year and a half, and I'm getting itchy. Time to do it. That itchy might also just be a strange rash. But anyway, that's not for this interview at all.
Alan Committee, look after yourself. I can't wait to see you. We're going to be. I can't wait to see you Sunday, by the way. Can't wait to see
good
you
man,
Sunday.
Good man.
Cheers. That's Alan Committee. And his show happens at Monte Cassino. Don't miss it. Really. It traveled the world. There's people in hysterics. The man is. He just rattles on. It's absolutely brilliant. And of course, I look forward this Friday to see the guys from Beatlemania on tour. So coming back to you guys. Favorite places you've been to? First, I love the story about George Harrison and a guy called George Harrison coming up to you. It reminds me of a very interesting little story. I was in Italy, and every time I checked into a hotel, they went to Alan Ford, and they all start laughing, and I didn't understand what was going on. And then they said, "Mr. Ford, do you want a suite? Do you want a meaning like a presidential?" I'm like, "No, I just want my room, please. I'd like to." And Mr. Ford, Alan Ford, in Italiano, you know, Alan Ford, you know this whole thing. And it's a famous comic book character in Italy, but it's a James Bond. And I didn't know. I was treated so well because they thought I was James Bond. Meantime, Alan Ford is 7 foot tall, blue eyes and blonde hair. I am not. But they still couldn't understand. Because when you checked and said, hi, checking Alan Ford, and then thought it was a joke. You know, it's like, hi, I'm James Bond. It's like, really?
Hi. Did you get your suite, though?
Do you know what? I actually was treated really well. I go back to Italy quite a lot. Quite a lot.
A year off after this, aren't you?
Yeah, well, but I've got to see a few more shows here. So tell me about your travels and where you have you been. Tell me about some of the other shows that you've been in. As you said, you've been in the Queen tribute.
Well, I mean, we've all just been part of an ABBA tribute just in December.
Really?
So, yeah, we became the backing band for that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're shifting, and obviously Showtime Australia. So you're shifting into different, which is cool because it keeps life interesting.
Yeah, but it also is our main show. Okay. That's our main show, and then when they require us, you know, to do another show, we go and do that.
This is
our main
great.
One. Yeah.
Okay. Which is brilliant. Okay. Favorite places you've been to?
Actually, New Zealand, because I'm originally from Tasmania, and it's just a hop across a pond, really. And
it's
I've never been.
A hop across a pond. Yeah. It's a damn big pond. You'll get lost in that sea.
Yeah, I'm a good hopper, you know. And so because it's so close, you know, all these years I've never been. It was really exciting when we finally went, and we were touring a lot there for the first year with ABBA and the Beatles. And it's just beautiful, geographically beautiful. People were so friendly too. It was just a wonderful time for me. Personally,
okay, I love that. I love that. I haven't been, but it is incredible. We do have huge. You know, we have an issue here in South Africa with the Wallabies and the All Blacks. The spring
really?
Yeah,
I think it's pretty clear cut. Yeah. The Wallabies.
We have an issue.
Actually,
with the All Blacks
are.
As well.
Okay, we share that in common.
But issue with the All Blacks.
The All Blacks and I have a real common bond against the Wallabies.
I'm hoping we don't have too much of an issue with the South African cricket team soon.
It's going to happen. Listen again.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you guys will probably get us.
But isn't it great that if you look at three interesting Commonwealth countries that are quite far apart, and let's say, well, one of them in so-called, excuse my language, shitholes. How ridiculous.
Don't
really
talk about New Zealand like that.
I'm talking about Australia.
Correct. But here's the thing, is that it's so interesting that you look at the world and you look at these three countries and how we dominate rugby and we dominate cricket. Yeah. It is interesting.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
And of course, add the Indias to it. Yep. Okay, and you think about it and you go like, wow, British, really? American have no clue. They changed everything, a sport to do anything that was different. So it's baseball or it's basketball or something. And they do a World Series.
Yeah.
With Cuba. Trump, we're going to have a problem. All right, your favorite country, where have you been to? It's been incredible, Cameron.
Well, I've been there a couple of times. I really enjoy Canada.
Really?
Yeah. Huh? Well, I've never been in the winter, which is probably a good thing. But Canada in summer, there's very few places that I've preferred over that. So,
to the young lad, sir.
Yeah, Canada as well. Going through the Rocky Mountains.
We
drove through the Rocky Mountains. That's the first time I've seen mountains
That's the first time you saw a mountain.
Well, you know Australia's quite flat.
It was one of the nicest traffic jams we were in.
Yeah.
There was a breakdown, so the road was stopped for like an hour.
Through the Rockies.
And it was nice.
Cape Town is going to bring you great surprises.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's my first time in South Africa, so
Johannesburg is, by the way, the largest man-made forest, by the way. Just out of interest. But I mean, Joburg's the people, and the Empress is great, and you're going to have lots of fun, and there's lots of sexy people. As a youngster, you love sexy people. They're all
That's
here.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, sexy people.
Sounds good.
But you go to Cape Town, and I tell you, it makes the French Riviera look silly. And I mean that. It's going to blow your mind. Okay, listen to me. And anyone that's been to Cape Town, there, your touring manager, you've been to Cape Town. Yeah. How hot's Cape Town? Cape Town is so sexy.
Say hi, mate.
Should we get a backup Ringo just in case we lose him?
Yeah. Don't give up the gig. Don't give up the gig. Stick together.
Where's Ringo gone?
Where have you been that you love?
Obviously
Australia.
No. I really do love America. I also do. Yeah. Obviously, these days it gets a bit of a reputation. But
it's only a buffoon. One person.
If you go over there and actually entertain to the crowds over there, they are really into it. They really just love music, and they love to respond to entertainment on stage. Yeah.
Where have you performed? Have you performed off Broadway?
Me? I've actually performed on cruise ships as a solo artist. Okay. So I've actually travelled quite a lot. I've been to all of Scandinavia, Russia, Iceland, the UK, and Canada and the US. So I've done a lot of travelling over the past couple of years.
Excluding Showtime Beatlemania, your best gig?
Best gig? Oh, that's a good question.
Cruise ships could be fun.
Are fun. They get a bit draining after a while. You play six nights a week for 4 hours a night. It becomes very draining.
How many times did you walk the plank? I forget.
And the problem is
that's a trade secret.
The crew can't mess around with the guests.
Favorite.
Crew can't mess around with guests.
You should ask him why he's no longer doing it.
Now you've brought it up, haven't you?
The boys are having fun. You're in the studio.
It's all in good jest.
This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. It is The Unview, where we still trying to work out who the thin, the rich, and the fabulous is, but we're all definitely fabulous, and I must be honest, they're very thin. We need to fatten you up. Come to a Lebanese home. Need to eat some food.
All right. Well, 8 o'clock?
Pleasure. Come. We'll eat good things. Hush. Behave yourself.
See you then.
And we've got the Beatlemania tour in studio. And, of course, they open tomorrow night. So, again, America's a great. You've traveled the world. And this is the magic. Your favorite Beatles song that you... Well, I mean, listen, you all got your favorites. So, Come Together to me. I don't know why. It just seemed Ben to make that's why I asked for it, because I think if your parents took it and you entered this world at 21,
I just thought it was a very interesting song.
Yeah,
I'd never heard a song like that before. Yeah, obviously from the 60s. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. I grew up on music from the 2000s. So that was the first time I really heard a song like that.
Yeah, exactly. And the song is melodic. It's great melody. I mean,
And the drums have a great melody to them.
Yeah.
Well, whereas he basically does a reverse fill. So instead of going down the toms, he starts at the low one and goes back up.
Okay.
Which is a bit
unusual.
He's
left-handed. He's a left-handed, right-handed drummer. So he does fills in a different way too.
Really?
Other drummers, yeah.
Okay, that's incredible. Was he the only left-handed? Were the other? It's interesting because you've got to play everything. It's the other way around.
The kit's still set up the same, but...
Yeah.
Let the drummer say.
It's set up as a right-handed kit, but he learned to play right-handed, but he's left-handed himself. So he would lead with his left hand, as opposed to a right-handed drummer who would lead from his right hand.
Oh, you're right-handed.
I'm left-handed as well.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a coincidence.
Okay, which is really cool. Mm.
Yeah.
Because that makes... You see, you think about things that are sometimes meant to be, and again, it's. And I'm so proud to say, because you talk about, you look at Australian talent, you look at American talent, you look at talent from all over the world, and Belinda Davids, who does Whitney tribute show, has got the whole world. She just did a tribute, I think, in the United States now to Whitney, where people couldn't believe. people couldn't believe that the way she sings to Whitney Houston. So it shows you talent exists all around us, and we need to celebrate the magic of these phenomenal artists that have stood the test of time. And they are the Beatles, the Bee Gees, the Rolling Stones, just to name a few bands, okay? Pink Floyd, if we're going to go, okay, Tina Turner, okay? Elvis Presley, Queen, okay? Whitney Houston, this is just to name, okay? And I mean, we're talking about the legends that no longer really are around, or the bands that are no longer around. But again, and what a way to give people the honor, the pleasure, and the understanding of what that music is, and to emulate it and to do that work is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's not what you, ideally, I'm sure you would want to one day write your own solo and be a number one hit, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where that's always a dream to try and achieve that. These days, it's the media has changed in terms of the way you actually present your songs has changed dramatically since the days of the Beatles, whereas a lot of it was about radio, whereas here you've got different avenues of actually putting your music out there. So, and there's a lot of content that comes with it. The internet has changed everything. So, going back to songs, I'd love to be able to write a number one hit.
Yeah, Brent writes a lot of songs, but yeah, he hasn't had a number one.
A number two's all right.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have another song in a moment. So, gentlemen,
do you want a Brent?
What are we gonna go for now? We're gonna go for what are we into? Who's leading? Paul.
What are we up to? How about?
Let's
do a Ringo song.
Lady Madonna.
Lady Madonna. Yeah.
We'll give it a go,
boys. This is Beatlemania here in South Africa. Rock and roll.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet, wonder how you manage to make ends meet. Who finds the money when you pay the rent? Did you think that money was heaven sent? Friday night arrives without a suitcase, Sunday morning creeping like a nun, Monday's child's learned to tie his bootlace.
See how they run.
Lady Madonna, baby at your breast, wonders how you manage to feed the rest.
Ba 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 ba.
Lying on the bed, listen to the music playing in your head. Tuesday afternoon is never ending. Wednesday morning papers didn't come. Thursday night your stockings needed mending.
See how they run.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet, wonder how you manage to make ends meet.
Brilliant, boys! Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. This has been a great, great show. It's been such an honor to have you in the studio with us. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
I want to thank Zach Coombs, Ben Harper, Brent McMullen, and Cameron Charters for joining us. They are on tour with Beatlemania. Don't miss them in Johannesburg, opening tomorrow night at the Empress Palace. They go to Durban in March, and they go to Cape Town in October. Mm-hmm. It's going to blow you away. And of course, watch Showtime Australia. They've got lots of big acts coming in and out of South Africa, including their Whitney Houston tribute show, which is not to be missed. Don't miss, get your tickets to go and celebrate horse racing at the Sun Met with GH Mum. in the Paddock Club. It's going to be fantastic. I thank them for joining us. And, of course, Allen Committee, Planet Mirth, is coming shortly. It opens actually tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. It shows you. Hit January, everyone's flying. Cape Town's got magic. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, also some great, great guests that will join us in studio. The likes of this cast of The Colour Purple. Ooh. They'll be coming in. We've got some Sound of Music's coming back. We've got some big international superstars that will be joining us on the line as well. It's going to be a good, good show. This is what it's about. Now, before we leave, I just need one last little strum of something. It's Hey Jude for 1 minute. Okay, come Beatlemania. This is for the interview. This is for me. Give me Hey Jude, baby.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain, hate you, refrain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulder.
This has been The Unview.
For where you know,
and I've got to tell you, it's a pleasure to be with you. Have the best Thursday. And remember, keep it safe and tidy out there and be happy. It's been good to be with you. Cheers from Beatlemania. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Love you. Well done.
Yeah.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.